Hey, welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We've got a special guest in the studio today and a really cool event coming up in Reno. Mark Mason is in studio with us today. And Mark, you are the founder, I guess would be the right word, for the Nevada Premier Sportsman's Expo.
There's actually three of us, actually four.
Okay.
Myself, Rick Young, Adam Young, a.k.a. Bubba,
okay,
and his son Ryan.
And I know Rick from his bino harness system.
Yes.
Back before it seems like everybody and their brother came out with a bino system.
Yep.
Rick was the OG of that with the bungee cord. You had like a whistle attachment, a little rangefinder clip. Again, that's the Nevada Premier Sportsman's Expo. Mark, when is that coming up?
It'll be March 14th, 15th, and 16th. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday show. And it's at the downtown Reno Event Center across from the Silver Legacy.
We want to drive that point home. It
yes.
is not, there's a little bit of confusion there, but it's the Reno Downtown Event Center across from the Silver Legacy.
Yes, it's on the corner of 4th and University.
4th and University.
4th and University.
So, Mark, I got to ask, you've got a backpack company, you
yes.
got a deer scent company.
Yep.
Why a Sportsman's Expo?
Well, I've been a resident now forever here in Reno. And, you know, back in the day, probably 15 years ago, we had a lot of events here. We had Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. We had Grand Slam Club Ovis. We had SCI. I think there was even the Mule Deer Foundation at one point in time and the Sheep Show. About 13 years ago, SCI left and took everybody with him down to Las Vegas. And I think this town has been hungry for a good blue-collared sportsman show. Different clientele than the Sheep Show, obviously. We're focused more on the blue-collared people that afford a $7,000 or $8,000 hunt instead of a $100,000 sheep hunt.
Right. I remember seeing a one sheet on, I believe it was Safari Club International years ago, but it was something like 70% of members own a yacht.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't know how they define yacht, but I know that I don't resemble that statistic.
Yeah, so any boat over the, you know, 50 feet.
Is that okay? Well, there
I just thought it meant like my little aluminum fishing boat. As long as I have a little canopy over the top,
right.
I could. It's I could
a classify. Yacht.
It's a yacht.
A yacht.
Yeah, it's my yacht.
I knew whatever it meant. That was not me. So I'm glad you brought up the blue collar thing.
Yeah.
So you partnered with these other guys, and how long you guys been kicking around this idea?
Well, Rick and I have been friends for a long time, and I brought this to Rick's attention about 2 years ago, and we decided, hey, let's do it. I mean, this town's hungry for one. It really is. And so we just kind of out of our back pocket threw it to the wolves and said, run with it. We're both vendors. We know what vendors want. We're both outdoorsmen. So we know what the outdoorsman wants. We don't have a whole lot of really expensive hunts and outfitters. A lot of these guys can put a hunt on a credit card and pay it off in a year or two.
As far as how, say I'm a listener, I'm interested in going to the event, how do I get tickets for it? How do I find out more information?
So we are going to have ticket sales at the door. They're $15 a piece. Or you can go to renosportsmanexpo.com and you can purchase your tickets online.
Do you want to get into any of the title sponsors of the event? Who stepped up and supported this?
Sure. Yeah. So the first one that really stepped up to the table was Michael Powersports.
Okay. Right here in Reno.
Right here in Reno. Talked with Maya down there. Great guy. They just came to the table and said, yeah, we're in. We want to be a part of this. Kudos to them. We landed another company called gunbroker.com. They actually came to the table big time. They sponsored us with a title sponsor. They're providing all the bags that people will be walking around with. We got some really cool bags. And then the last one was Corwin GMC.
Kind of a newcomer to the market. They're actually, they're a client of mine. I deal with some of their radio advertising stuff in the market.
Oh, perfect.
Great company. They took over the old Winkle dealerships, title sponsors. They've all stepped up to support the show. What did you say? Couple hundred vendors are going to be there?
Yeah, we currently have over 200 vendors. We were originally slated for 320.
Okay.
But of course, some vendors bought bigger booths. So some of them bought 10 by 20s, 10 by 40s. We got some great attractions at the show. Get Rattled will be there. So if you are an upland game bird hunter and you want to train your dog on not to get bit by a rattlesnake, he's going to be there. He's got a huge booth.
And you said that was what, six spaces?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 by 60, I think.
What's he going to have there? Dogs?
I think he's going to have a couple of his own dogs, and he's going to bring a bunch of rattlesnakes in cages.
Right. Have they been defanged? Or
I don't know.
Okay, we'll find out.
The scent's there, and I'm not too sure how he does his training, but I guess a lot of people go to it.
Yeah, it's pretty popular.
Yeah.
Have you done it with your dog, with Gage, Dave?
I have not.
I haven't either.
I have not.
I need to.
I've thought about it numerous times when we've been out in the field and come across a rattlesnake, but I have not actually just jumped in the pool and done it.
I would highly recommend it. I had a wire hair close to 12, 15 years ago, and that dog went on point, and I thought it was a bird, and I inched my way up to the bush, and it didn't fly out, and there was a snake in there.
Oh.
And it wouldn't have been long before he would have bit him right on the face.
I was going to say, my dad did it with one of his dogs years ago, and I think he spoke pretty highly of it. I know I have those years, like last year, and not to get derailed, but where we're hunting in 2 feet of snow, and I'm like, I'll save that for another year. And then we have seasons like this one.
Yeah, like this year.
Where it's like I'm out in short sleeves in January, and I'm going, you know, this might be the year I need to do this. And then the season wraps up, and I go, I'll save that for another year, but I'll check that out with you. What about family stuff, kids stuff coming up at the event? There's going to be some attractions, you were saying?
Yep. We have Endow is bringing the OGT trailer. There's going to be a BB gun booth.
Okay.
As well as a laser shot, I think is what they're calling it. And we are having a scavenger hunt for the kids.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so oh, that's cool.
We've got a bunch of the vendors pulled together, so they got to go. If you're familiar with a scavenger hunt, you know, you kind of walk around. There's a map. They got to go to each vendor to get something and bring it back. And then we will put their card that they fill out and draw for drawings. We have a bunch of donated stuff from vendors. We have stuff we've personally bought. The grand prize is a shotgun that was donated by the Mule Deer Foundation. That'll be the number one prize. Then we have a youth bow and arrow, some fishing gear, and then some smaller things.
Speaking of youth hunters getting kids involved, You mentioned something you were kind of hesitant whether or not you wanted to bring it up. I'm going to put you on the spot. There is a hunter safety course on Saturday the event.
Correct.
Now, not sure about numbers on that.
I don't know. I don't know if it's full or not, but I would go to the fishing game and ask them, and it drives some interest.
So there is a hunter safety course. Bring the whole family. That safety course is going to be when? Saturday, you said?
Saturday.
Okay, so that's the 15th?
There's also, just want to let everybody know, kids under 12 are free.
Oh, okay.
So
that's $15 for adults.
$15 for adults, kids under 12 are free.
Hey, so we're up against a break here real quick. If you're listening out there right now, do not go anywhere. We're going to have more about other stuff at the Nevada Premier Sportsman's Expo. Hey, we are back. You are listening to Nevada Backcountry on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you miss a segment of the show, you can always go to the website, 991fmtalk.com, click on the podcast tab, or if you're an Apple user, all past episodes are available on the Apple Podcast app. Just search for Nevada Backcountry. That out of the way, we are still here with Mark Mason from the Nevada Premier Sportsman's Expo coming to Reno March 14th through the 16th at the Reno Downtown Event Center. And over the break there, we were kind of talking about other stuff at the show, Mark. And Dave, you had a great point. What was it?
Generally do.
Yeah. You wish.
Right.
Other vendors or other stuff. It's not just a hunting show.
Exactly. Like the full scope of the expo, the Premier Expo. Like we were talking, it's about mountain biking and ATVing, and it's kind of encompasses a lot.
We put this thing together for the outdoorsman. It's not specifically shooter related, hunting related. It's if you're in the outdoors, whether it be fishing, fly fishing, you own a charter, rent a charter, whatever. We have everything from A to Z there.
Nice.
And we wanted to bring that to the public. They've never had it here for a long time. Most of the hunters here have never seen a show other than the sheep show. So
right.
We wanted to bring all the aspects. As a vendor, as a sportsman, Rick and I both have talked about this. We want it to be family orientated and affordable. And just excellent. So much there for everybody to dabble in.
So there's stuff on like hiking trails and hikes and just kind of the whole gamut. If you go outside, if you're outside your house, you know, and enjoying the outdoors, there's going to be something at this expo that will fire up an interest with you.
Absolutely. Okay. Even Shields came to the table and got like 5 or 6 booths. So they're going to have all their stuff there, wakeboards or, you know, whatever.
Kayaking, kayaks, all that kind of stuff, camping stuff. Yep. Now, you were mentioning something about Shields, saying that they're offering something on tickets.
Yes. So you can go to Shields and or the Hunt House and get a $2 off coupon.
Nice.
Right at the counter when you check out.
Yeah, don't have to buy anything or anything. You just go in, just get your $2 coupon, and then buy your tickets.
Yep.
Awesome.
It's $2 off at the door.
All right.
Yeah, maybe we should have led in with that. That's my bias. I think when I hear Sportsman's Expo, I think, perfect. This all it's going to be about killing stuff in the woods, and that's all I want to talk about. But
The life of Henry.
Yeah, very good point. Basically, anybody doing anything in the outdoors, there's something for everyone there.
We even have a fur company. So,
cool.
For those of you that have a wife that would like a nice coat while you're booking a hunt,
I like a good fur hat.
Yeah.
Right. I like a nice, big, fluffy fur, like Russian-style hat.
Is it the company here locally?
No.
Alaska
Fur Company.
Fur Company. Okay.
Oh, wow.
I got my wife a... not shawl or whatever. I got Cynthia fur, and I thought, oh, she'll wear this to banquets and stuff. Well, it's too dang hot.
Yeah.
I got a really nice fur in the closet at home. What else as far as like outdoor lifestyle stuff? You got any clothing vendors, I'm assuming, stuff like that?
Yep. We have a couple of camouflage clothing vendors. SKRE is there. There's a couple more. I can't remember their names. There's been so many people at the show. I have a hard time keeping who I
booked. Over 200 vendors.
Yeah, there's a lot.
That's
yes, we do have some camouflage companies. We got a lot of product companies, not so much like guides and outfitters, but there's a lot of product there. You can come and just buy all kinds of stuff.
Okay, one thing I wanted to bring up that we forgot to get to in the last segment, there are going to be, I'll call them seminars. I don't know if that's the right word, but there are going to be presenters there talking about their experiences. I noticed there was going to be an elk calling seminar there. Is that going to be mostly Saturday, Sunday? How's that schedule run?
It's all 3 days. We actually have an elk calling contest.
Oh, okay.
That first place, second place. It's sponsored by Slayer Game Calls. They're actually doing the judging.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
His son, I think, is Corey or Cody, one of the world champion callers. He'll be there. Wapiti Game Calls is going to help out judging the contest. And then on the seminars, we actually have Mr. Larry Washoon.
Mr. Whitetail?
Yeah. Mr. Whitetail. Okay. He will be there, and he'll be doing a seminar all 3 days. We have Nick Mutt. It's going to be there all 3 days from Bone Collector. I have Michael Batiste. He puts on Elk Calling Academy. He's going to be doing seminars and helping judge the elk calling contest.
Okay.
And then we have Blacktail Drop Zone. There's a handful of seminars we got going on.
Oh, that's cool.
Is that all included in that $15 to get in, or the seminars an extra?
Nope. Seminars are all free. Just come on in and grab a seat.
Okay, so even if you're listening right now going, man, I got all the outdoor gear I need. I don't need to go see vendors. There's still going to be educational stuff going on. It would behoove listeners to show up.
Absolutely.
And get some knowledge from people who spend a lot more time in the field than certainly I do.
Yeah, there's, you know, you take like Larry, he's been in the field a long time. He's getting up there, he's a wealth of knowledge. And most of it's whitetail, but he's hunted all over the continent. He's got some input, whether you want to take it or not, but he's
well, even if you're, you know, you enjoy being in the outdoors, but you may have some interests in some other aspects of the outdoors, this is a good place to go and collect some of that information. If you're, you know, if you're interested in the e-biking or kayaking or something, or your kids are wanting to dabble into something new.
Well, as you know,
good opportunity.
Most of us are mule deer hunters and elk hunters. A lot of us got the itch to go shoot a whitetail. Mr. Whitetail giving a seminar on it.
Yeah. We just had a guest on the show, Hunter Morai. That was like his, it's always funny to me, having lived back east, when people say their bucket list hunt is a whitetail, but that's for a lot of guys out here that have never, you know, lived back east. That's they're like, I want to kill a whitetail.
It is fun.
Yeah, because you lived in Illinois for a while in college.
Yeah, for 3 years, and starving college kid. That's what I lived on for 3 years was whitetail deer.
Oh yeah,
yeah, absolutely. For sure. It's completely different, and it's addictive.
And that's where my other business, Hot Sense. You know, I don't do a lot of it here in Nevada, obviously, for obvious reasons. Right. But I do have cover scents and scent eliminations and wind checkers. But I sell a ton of it online to whitetail hunters. And my number one sales, believe it or not, is blacktail.
I wouldn't have guessed that, but yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
That was my number one seller last year was blacktail scents.
Where, what state?
All up and down the coast.
Oh, okay.
Oregon, Idaho. I mean, most of it, Oregon.
Oregon.
I sold a bunch. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the backpack company at all?
Sure.
I was not familiar, full disclosure, until you and I talked. When did you start that?
So my friend actually started the company quite a few years back. And then he had some kids that got into football and basically made a choice to be with his kids versus, you know, backpacks. So he was going to sell it. And I said, man, we've been a partner of this. I've been his pro staffer. And I said, why don't I just buy this from you? So that was kind of the kickoff about 3 or 4 years ago. Bought the backpack company and been pushing it ever since, and we make a great backpack. Got a couple of our local guides using it. Riley Manzoni from Current Creek Outfitters has a couple, loves them. Mitch Bailey, he's tied in, related to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And
Austin even wears it and loves it.
Yeah, right. Stone Cold, who lives down there in Gardnerville now.
Yeah, yep. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
So now these backpacks, they're just not hunting backpacks with the frame packs and integrated and all that, but they're also like day trip backpacks.
I have four models. One's basically a fanny pack with straps.
Oh, bringing back the 80s.
Yeah, got a lot of people. I saw a lot of them.
Oh,
people like them.
Heck yeah.
Bow hunters really like them.
Yeah, yep. I still have mine for bow hunting.
Yep. So I got the fanny pack with shoulder straps.
Yeah.
And then I have another pack that's a day, kind of a two-day pack. Does not have a built-in frame. And then I have another pack that's a 2,700 cubic inch with a built-in aluminum frame.
Oh, nice.
And then the Big Daddy, which is the 4,400. And it's got a built-in frame with a false floor, like a meat floor in it.
That meat shelf.
Oh, that's cool.
And when you see the design of the pack, you'll understand it. Most packs are built pretty much square. So when you're, as a hunter, you know, when you debone something, a lot of that meat just settles in the bottom.
Yeah.
And it pushes, you look like an upside-down mushroom on your butt.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And so we built this pack very kind of narrow at the bottom and tapers up to the top. So it pushes the meat up to the center of your back.
Oh, like an upside down pear.
Basically.
Upside down pear.
It literally does. It forces the meat up into the center of your back versus hanging clear down on your head.
Yeah, so you're not blowing out your duodenum.
I'm assuming that, you're doing my I'm assuming you're going to have a booth at the show for the backpack company?
Yes.
Yeah, very cool. You going to be at the booth or are you going to be upstairs running the...
Unfortunately, I'll be running around like a chicken with my head cut off.
Gotcha.
I'm going to have to come check out the fanny pack because I'm definitely interested in a new one of those.
My dad loves, I forget which one it is, but he still hunts with that fanny pack if he can get away with it.
Yeah, my shoulder straps have strung out and now it kind of hangs near my thighs.
Well, I'll tell you after this show or before the show, you and I hook up. I've got a warehouse full of them.
Yeah, we'll know a guy.
I know a guy that can hook you up with a fanny pack.
Hey, so we're talking with Mark Mason from the Nevada Premier Sportsman's Expo. It's coming to Reno March 14th through the 16th. Go get your discount coupons at Huntin' House or at Shields, and it's going to be at the Reno Downtown Event Center. Mark, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and doing this with us.
This is awesome.
It's been a pleasure, guys. We're looking forward to this. It's been a long time coming. We want everybody to attend.
Good deal. What do you want to leave listeners with?
Oh, I don't know. Just have a good time. Come out to the show. Enjoy it. Bring your family. It's all about the kids.
And don't forget, that is the Reno Downtown Event Center across from the Silver Legacy, 4th and University there.
Correct. It's also across from the Big Bowling Alley. You can't miss it.
Hey, thanks again to Mark Mason for joining us on Nevada Backcountry. That is the Nevada Premier Sportsman's Expo, March 14th through the 16th. Get some tickets for it. Bring the whole family. It's at the Reno Downtown Event Center. And like I said, March 14th through the 16th. On with regularly scheduled programming. Dave, we got some listener feedback to get to.
Yes, we do.
And I'm going to apologize to people who have gotten in touch with us through social media. I didn't realize, apparently, Nevada Backcountry, we have a business account. And you got to go into Meta Business or something. So I would see
log in through that.
Yeah, there's like a, hey, you got a message or whatever. And I'd be like, okay, couldn't find the messages. Well, I found them finally. So apologies to anybody who got in touch through social media. We'll start with that because one of them caught my eye. Are you aware of this Ruby's development proposal?
Ruby Mountain rezoning could allow for commercial development. Where is this? Is this, Elko County?
Yep.
So it is out there near the Ruby, like Spring Creek area.
Yeah, wasn't even on my radar.
Spring Creek Open Space Advocates.
So here's...
No, I haven't heard anything about this.
Yeah, and I hadn't either. Well, here's the kicker to all this, right? An out-of-area landowner has applied for a zoning change from open space district to an agricultural recreational district for the, it's basically 2,300-acre parcel owned by Ruby Mountain Ranch Holdings, and it's adjacent to the Spring Creek campground. So the bummer about it is that the parcel extends to 9,400 feet in elevation. So basically to the top face of the Rubies.
Of the Rubies.
That. Yeah.
So they're proposing, so it's not housing or anything. So they're just proposing recreational access, trails, probably that kind of stuff. Like,
here's where I'm a little confused, right? Because I guess right now it's zoned, it's an open space district.
Right.
They want to rezone it to an agricultural dash recreational district.
Right. Okay.
So recreational district, that sounds all well and good. What's the agricultural component?
That I do not know the agricultural component. I don't know if those two are just a part of that particular zoning law is bleeds together, agricultural and recreational. It doesn't sound like it would. But
and here's why this listener sent it to us is because one of the things on there is apparently a developer hired by the landowner has offered or pitched the idea of using the parcel for a recreational area, which would include a 1,200-acre ski resort.
Oh, geez.
So here's where
now that rings a bell.
Oh, you've heard of this.
The ski resort actually does ring a bell.
Okay, Dave just had a light bulb moment, everybody.
I did. It's only like a four water, but I do remember reading up on something in relation to a ski resort in the Rubies.
Proposed ski resort in the Rubies. So
that must be it.
We'll do a little more research on that. Thank you to the listener that sent this to us. And anybody that listens to the show or has listened for long enough knows that I love skiing. You know, my whole family skis. I love doing it, both resort and backcountry. I am not a proponent of ski areas. I do not get on board with that at all. I think if there's an area there that's skiable, learn to backcountry ski, take your avalanche certification courses. You can still go enjoy that.
Yeah.
But man, when you start talking about bulldozing runs and the water usage and on and on, same thing. I like to golf poorly, but I like to go out and golf occasionally. Every time I drive past a golf course, I cringe.
Yeah.
So, do I like to go golf? Sure. Do I think there should be more golf courses? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Not a chance. That, and then second
piece. Yeah,
we'll
have to look into that one for sure.
Yeah, second piece of listener feedback. One of our longtime listeners, and man, John, I love you for sending us emails all the time. John was unaware of some of the solar projects going on, and he had a great line in his email, which I wish I had printed out, but he said something similar to what we say all the time on the show. I'm not a tree hugger by any stretch of the imagination. I do not like the thought of development that I've got to now go around or animals have to go around in Nevada spaces. And we mentioned one, I think we're a lot of moving parts. I think we're purposely being a little bit coy about some of the renewable energy stuff. Would that be an accurate statement?
Maybe. Yeah,
okay.
Maybe kind of sort of a little coy.
Just not necessarily naming exact locations, naming where they are. There's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, there's a great deal of stuff going on there.
Okay.
Definitely going on there. There's a lot of applications.
Okay.
For renewable energy. That's solar, that's wind, that's lithium projects, that's all kinds of stuff.
Geothermal?
Mining, geothermal's huge.
Okay.
Yeah, geothermal. You know, the one that really eats up a lot of land, but the three big ones is the lithium, the wind, and obviously the solar. When you've got 1,000 to 5,000 acres of panels,
right,
and they're all fenced off.
When you talk about lithium, you're talking about lithium mining,
right?
Anybody that works for a mining company, I'm not bad mouthing mining. I understand it's crucial to, holy smokes, what's in this microphone I'm talking into
now? I mean, everything
came out of the earth at some point. I'm not anti-mining, but, and I know what they say about everything before the but is BS. But take a drive out to the Pequops out there by Wells.
Yeah.
Take a look at where that elk herd, if you know it from years ago, where it used to be in the Pequops.
Yeah.
Drive down that eastern side of that now and look at what is left and what the mines have done to that.
Yeah, because when they go in there, they may say it may be a lithium mine project. They're going to take everything out of the earth that they can sell.
Yeah.
Lithium being their primary or the priority element that they're after, they're not going to bypass anything else that's in the earth that they can sell. So when that project is said and done, they've stripped the earth of everything.
Yep.
And it just turns into a big open pit of Mars. That's it.
Nothing will grow there.
Nothing will grow back. There have been studies done on some of these old facilities where they're trying to figure out how they can get things to grow back, you know, what they need to do to re-energize the earth so that something can grow. And from some of the studies I've read, nothing's working. It would take just hundreds of millions of dollars to treat the soils.
Yeah.
And then decades for it to actually work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that.
And then, so once you do finally re-energize it, then you're talking about cheatgrass mitigation.
It would be just a horrible, evil cycle. Yeah.
Hey, look, no one's going to catch me driving a Tesla, or I'm not picking on Tesla. Electric car. No one's going to catch me driving an electric car or singing Kumbaya with hands linked around a sequoia tree. That's not my scene.
No.
I would consider myself an outdoorsman or a sportsman. And when I see what's left behind after some of these projects, I just go, man, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I don't know if we need to approve any more permits for that stuff. But that's just Henry's take on it.
That's a good take, Henry.
Okay. Coming up, final segment of the show, we'll get into a little bit of a field report. Dave just recently went out, did some fishing. So we'll get into the Pyramid Lake stuff heating up. I was out looking at sheep before the Muley Fanatic Foundation banquet, which was another awesome night, as it always is. So we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back on Nevada Backcountry. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry. Man, thank you sincerely for tuning in to the show. This is one of my favorite parts of the week. I get to sit down and talk hunting with one of my best buds. So it's not a bad gig by any stretch of the imagination. And I sincerely thank those of you who take time out of your day to listen to us either on podcast or live when we're doing the show. Trip reports, Dave. You recently went out to Pyramid Lake.
Yeah, Pat and I took a Sunday and we headed out there. We heard how well it was doing. I've been fishing the river a little bit and doing okay there. But man, we were like, okay, all these pictures people are posting of these just lunkers.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, we're heading out. Let's do this.
What'd you guys do? Kayaks?
No. We went off the ladders.
You did the ladder thing.
So we went off the ladders. So we got there a little late, you know. Pat's, he's got to groom himself and stuff and things, you know, poor guy. But now, just giving you a hard time, Pat. Don't worry about it. So we got out there a little late. So the area we wanted was already occupied. So we kind of went off to the left of where all those other ladders were. And we had some really good hits. Did not catch anything. But The folks that were in the spot that we did want,
yep,
they were doing very well. They were hooking up.
Cast after cast.
It was, you know, probably somebody had something on about every 3 minutes or something, 4 minutes. It was like, okay, yeah, we need to wake up sooner.
I've been on both sides of that coin.
But it was such a gorgeous day. It got to the point I was using balanced leeches with a nymph on the end.
Yeah.
I started using the bobbers, you know, because we're in a lot shallower place than where we wanted to be. Where we wanted to be, there you went out about, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 feet, and then it dropped off pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
And so you wanted to be, those guys were all at the edge of the drop-off. And we were where the drop-off came back up and turned back into shallows.
Okay.
So we were, like, right on the edge of that. So we were just getting, like, the scumbag fish that didn't know how to swim in the pit. You know, so that's where we got our few hits. But it was such a gorgeous day. I mean, I was cool just sitting in that chair and on the ladder and just being like, whatever. And just taking in some sun and enjoying it and just peaceful and quiet. But it was a good day. It was really good. We're going to head back out.
Very cool. Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
We're going to head back out. And you
I need went, to go fish with you guys.
You
but
do.
Yeah.
You need to come out and fish. But you and your brother went and did a little run around, checking out, looking for sheep. And then you guys ran into like gobs of birds. And
yes.
What the? Yeah.
So I'm not going to say where we went.
No, don't you dare.
Yeah, because we did find, you know, here's how neurotic I am about chucker stuff. Some of those old habits I used to have are kind of coming back. Gosh, 3 chucker partners moved away. You know, you come and go through the years and you have like some really good years. Well, anyway, my brother back in town, all those old little habits I used to have to be good at chucker hunting are starting to crop back up. One of them is I have a lunch lady clicker. So I can click because I'm too scatterbrained.
Us sportsmen call those arrow counters.
Arrow counters. All right. Well, I'm not a sportsman.
Lunch lady clicker.
Yeah. And so I have one of those. And I'll just go out on the weekends, get some exercise for the dog, count coveys I get up, and then I get a little journal where I write like, oh, hey, this is what I did. And I figure someday my kids are going to be looking at a dusty bookshelf and go, what's this leather-bound thing? Oh, holy smokes.
It's dad's spots.
Lifetime of dad's spots. So we went out, we checked out an area. The cool thing, besides the number of birds and no shotgun shells.
That's
so
awesome.
So that was cool. We found some sheep out there, desert bighorns out there. Didn't see any real big mature rams. Saw a bunch of smaller, I call them like handlebar rams or lamb-tipped rams.
Yeah.
Saw those, saw some ewes. Here's what I wanted to talk about with this trip out there, though. Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Fire away.
I have heard so many stories over the years with finding sheep deadheads.
Right.
What do you do, as in my brother Will and I, we found a kill site, and I mean, it was 20 yards at most, maybe, from a lion den. So, I mean, it was scattered all over the hillside, like pretty blatantly a lion kill. For people listening, what do they do when they come across this stuff? What's the official, hey, do this?
So, like on yours, that thing probably been dead for years.
It was old. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really old. Only had one horn.
Yep.
And it was a much younger ram. Like,
yep.
It was maybe a 3-year-old, maybe.
Yeah.
Something like that, you can contact the Department of Wildlife.
Okay.
Talk to the law enforcement. Let them know what you found. Maybe send them some pictures. Something like that, they're not going to have to plug it. Because there's just nowhere to plug that small of a ram.
Right, one horn.
But yeah, if you come across a fresh, relatively fresh
meat
kill.
Meat still on it,
fur still on it, both horns still there, the whole bit. That, your best bet is, obviously, take a location with your Onyx or whatever you have. Take a location, take pictures of the area, and then you can bring the head into the department, and then that will have to be plugged.
Okay.
So this happened a couple years ago. A gentleman brought in an absolute bomber ram out of 181.
Oh, yeah. I know this story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That looked like it had been possibly shot and just never retrieved.
Mm-hmm.
Is what the, after the investigation, they went out there and checked it all out. So that's what they kind of assumed. But it ended up being like a 169 Ram. I mean, still eyeballs still in the whole thing.
Yeah.
And we plugged it for him and gave it back to him. So he got to keep that. But yeah, so just contact the Department of Wildlife. So then you're kind of crossing your T's, dotting your I's, and they'll let you know, like, nah, just, we're not going to do it. We can't plug that or do anything with it, but cool. Thanks for the location type thing.
The part you mentioned that I want to ask you about.
Okay.
If you mark it as far as grid coordinates, you know, GPS, OnX, whatever, mark it, photos, or in the case with Will and I.
A video,
and I kind of scanned around, here's where we're at, here's what we're looking at. You can remove the head.
Bring it to the office.
Okay. Because I have heard both scenarios, and I could see, I mean, unfortunately, maybe fortunately, I've never found a big dead head. You know, I found little, either a ewe or lamb-tipped rams and stuff over the years.
Yeah.
I've never found a real big, but I could see, I've been told before that you've got to leave everything in place until the investigation concludes.
If it's like really, really fresh. Yeah.
Is that the best
bet?
If
you've got it, yeah, I would leave it completely and take pictures of the whole surrounding area and then get that to the law enforcement division.
Because
if you've got to take a knife out and cut the hide and the meat and snap the neck off and the whole nine yards, you're pushing the limit. If the head's just there and a little bit of spinal cord maybe or something and you can just pick it up, I mean, people have done that and brought it into the office.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you've got a...
don't do that.
Right, exactly. Okay. Don't do that. That's where, you would leave that there, get all the information you can, bring it in, and then law enforcement will go out, investigate it, make sure it wasn't a poaching event or anything like that, and then they can inform you, you can now take here's the head.
Okay.
Because they'll go pick that, something like that up. Then they can contact you to, if you can, if it's not a poaching situation, then...
Right.
Probably get the head if you want it.
All right. So, yeah, I always think about those situations where it's like, man, what if I find like a 180 California or something dead?
Yeah,
if it's like a year or two old and it's the head's 20 yards that way and spinal columns over there drop a pin, take a video, take photos, and then bring the head straight to Endow. Because I would hate to find something like that and then go, well, I just got to trust that nobody else is going to find this.
Yeah, and if it's been years, it's unlikely, but yeah. Now, when Pat and I were heading out to go fishing, all those sheep that Endow did a cooperative thing
with the trap,
they were all up on a rock just right off the road. They were all sitting up there. What a cool picture. And there's two rams in there that are quite nice.
Really?
Yeah, they were just sitting just north of Pelican Point. There's a big chunk of rock that's just right on the road, and they are all standing on top of that.
And there are rams in there.
Yeah, there's several. There's the two of them were really nice. Really
that
nice
day rams. We were coming back from chukar hunting and saw them. It was all ewes.
Yeah, that was all ewes, But there were a few rams in this group.
Oh, very cool.
Super cool.
Well, hey, folks, that is all we have got for you this weekend. Thanks again for listening. And quick shout out to our show sponsors, Shooting Performance Institute, Truck Envy, Legacy Sports International, and Battleborn Tree Service. Go support the businesses that support this content. Thank you, everybody.